without reading.
I threw an extra pair
No,
of new
I'm good.
pants.
I'm good. I always carry my talisman. I took it out for some reason yesterday.
Is it?
Oh man, that's
These are
yeah.
two. These are two and a half.
Oh man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
You
I'm
sure?
good. Try this, okay? Won't tell my eye doctors that we're about already good. No,
No way getting glasses.
that's
And
all. That's
then
all.
I'm good.
That's
Okay,
all. No, it's good. It's good.
sorry.
Natural ways is the. Okay, we were speaking in the previous couple of lines in the Gemara about how a person can give a get to his wife without her actually even touching the get, even though the Torah says v'nasa biyada, so biyada is lav dafka in a physical hand, in a chotzer, any property that belongs to her would also be acceptable. So now the Gemara starts telling a very, very strange story about a get that was given in such a manner, but it had a couple of halachic complications to it. Let's pick it up enough ayin zayin on the base. The first one line is Bechatzera, so it's about 12 lines up on the top. So how shchimira, the middle line, how shchimira, the kasav la gitla devisu, v'adipanya d'malishabata. So it was a shchimira, someone who's sick, he's dead, and he wants to divorce his wife. Why does he want to divorce his wife? Because he's afraid he's going to die, and he has a brother who it's going to be difficult to do chalitza yibum, so it's going to make her life very, very difficult. So therefore, he's trying to do her a favor. He's dying anyway, so figure they'll divorce otad right before he dies. So he wrote the get. It was ready to be given. It was panya demali shabbata. It was the morning of Erev Shabbos. So he wrote the get on Friday. The get is they're waiting otad. They don't want to give the get too early, so they'll spend the last Shabbos again. He doesn't think he's going to make it much longer than that. Flo hispik. And he didn't have a chance to give it to Alma. So later on Shabbos, he really wasn't feeling well, and they were really afraid to turn for the worst. They were afraid that he was going to die. So now we had a little bit of a problem. The problem is that a get is muktzah. You're not allowed to move a get around on Shabbos. So we're trying to figure out how in the world could we get this get to the wife's property without violating the din of total muktzah. A little bit of creativity. So asla kamei d'rabba. So the shaila came to Rabba. Amalu, he said as follows. Zilu Amrule, he said, go tell this man, Likne nihalal ha. Said rather than him picking up the get and giving the get to her, which would be a violation of Chashabis, he said, let him transfer ownership on that location where the get is sitting. And once he transfers ownership where that get is sitting, so now that land becomes hers, and just as the land becomes hers, the get becomes ours as well. So he totally circumvented having to handle the get by simply transferring ownership. So you're probably wondering, transferring ownership?
Shabbos.
This is Shabbos. So Tosfos points out that Chazal lifted that prohibition because we don't want the man to die without giving a get. It's going to be such a pain for her. So Chazal lifted that Issa d'Rabbanan. So apparently Chazal didn't want to lift the Issa d'Rabbanan of Muktzah, but they weren't willing to lift this Issa d'Rabbanan of transferring ownership. So comes the Gemara and says, but how do you do that? How am I going to sell you a piece of land on Shabbos? We're going to write a document. How am I going to do that? So Rava came up with another creative thing. Rava said, "The Rava said that one of the methods of buying land is what's called chazaka. So chazaka means that either if I fix something on the land, let's say I dig a hole in the land, or I repair a broken fence in the land, or I take something apart." To do something that's going to enhance the quality of the land, that's a kiddush hazaka. The problem is, all those activities are also off limits on Shabbos. But there's one thing that I can do. I can simply lock the door. So if the door is open and I lock the door and shut it, I protect the land from somebody coming in, that could also qualify as a kiddush hazaka. You can lock your door on Shabbos. So that's what Rava came up with, the creative way of acquiring the land. And just as she acquired the land, she acquired the get. So they're able to get the get in a way that wouldn't pose a problem of Hilchos Shabbos.
Isn't
So,
looking at a woman requires belong to her
but
husband?
that's the next question. Yeah. So it comes and says, "V'tiftach v'taksig bein." So she should go and lock the door, and by doing so, she'll be kona of the land. This not be in a Mishnah. No gadol paretz kosher is a chazaka. If a person either locks the door, or he breaks through the fence a little bit, or he fixes up the fence a little bit, anything that's going to have some kind of improvement of the area. So that's those are all considered to be chazakas. So Amalei Rav Elishter Rava. So Rav Elish questioned Rava, Mancha Kansa Isha Kana Baila. He must have been like a great great grandson of Elish. So Rav Elish turns to Rava and he says, wait a second. He said, how's it going to work? Well, even if she owns the land, but he owns the land, because whatever the woman owns now goes back to him. So basically, this whole stunt of Rava accomplished absolutely nothing. So Ichsip. So Rava got embarrassed. Rava realized he made a mistake. That's why I wanted to hold off the question. Rava felt bad that maybe he gave a wrong tzak. So l'sof igli milsa darusavoy. So in the end, it wasn't so bad. It wasn't really a mistake, because it turns out that this woman was never really a nesua. We spoke about this many times, that there are two stages of marriage. There's erusin and there's nesuin. So the state of erusin is the earlier stage. The couple wasn't even living together as husband and wife yet. And Nebuch, the guy got sick, and they're trying to give a get before he dies. So since she wasn't yet a nesua, so the property doesn't yet go back to the husband. So that's what Rava said. Rava said, just because the din is that when you have a woman who's completely married, nesuin already, anything that she owns belongs to the husband. We wouldn't say a parallel din when it comes to a girl who's only an arusa. So Rava got off the hook. Rava and Rava didn't realize that at the time. So Rava gave it, in a sense, incorrect psak that turned out to be a correct psak for a totally different reason. So then the Gemara says, Nahadama Rava. Then Rava thought about it a little bit and he said, No. What I said originally was right, even if she would have been a Nesua. Loshna Arusa, Loshna Nesua. Why is it not a problem? So says Rava, Gita Bechatzera Boinki Echad, that at the same moment that she acquires the get, she acquires the land, or vice versa. The same time she acquires the land, she acquires the get. Since everything is happening simultaneously, therefore the get would be valid. So says the Gemara, Ha'amar Rava Mekara. So Rava said that already. That was Monday Shir. We already learned this at the beginning of the week, that how can the Mishnah ever speak about putting a get into the chatzar of the woman? What do you mean the chatzar of the woman? She doesn't own it anyway. So Rava already told us 3 days ago, there's a principle called Gita B'chatzar Ba'an Kiyachad. The Gemara says, you're right. Ki Amar Rava Hai Ma'is Amra. The original statement of Rava was on the story. This is the case. This was the impetus for Rava being mechadish the story. So it was a Ma'is Shahaya, this wild case of the Shechimnir giving the get. And Rava realized Rav Elish had a bomb kasha. So Rava started to think about what the answer to Rav Elish's kasha is. And he came to the realization that there is a principle called Gita V'yadav B'mam Kiyachon, Gita V'chatzeh B'mam Kiyachon. And so be it. Therefore, he said it. And that's why it was recorded earlier.
But
it does make a difference, because the husband is kona things, either things that she had from before or things that she gets during the marriage. But he's got everything.
He's kona the things that she had before the marriage. He's not kona that. Like, he
only gets the... Paris, right. Well, in all cases, he only gets the Paris. And the Gemara was assuming in the question that the person who owns the Paris is the one who's considered to be the owner of the field vis-a-vis a Kenyan Chatzah. That's a loaded question, how the Gemara knew that. But that seems to be the flow of the Gemara. That's what Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, a whole... Well, we still don't know how to understand that line of the Gemara.
Would it have been easier to put a suit on top of the get and lift them both up and give it to
them? Well, you can't do that. That's Tiltum min Hatzad, Lutzach Dover also. That's the problem. Tiltum min Hatzad is only mutter if you don't hold the thing directly, if I want something else. Let's say if there's double muksa on the table or something, I need the table, so then I can pick up the table because I need the table. But if my kavana is to get to the Dover also, that's the problem. There is no head
of Tiltum. There's an example of the mace.
That was a special rule. That the Gemara says breaks all the rules. It was says Lohitiru, Tiruk, pass for Tiruk, element of mace, Pavad. That was a special rule. We should be Zayin Amei. So there is no rule, no muksa. You're allowed to do that. So comes the Gemara, continues now, going back to the Mishnah of Hibisoch Besa. So the Mishnah said that if you do give her get in her house or in her chotzer, if she's there, so then the get is going to be valid. So Amma Ula, who she'omedes b'tzad Besa, b'tzad chatzera, says Ula, when is this true? That's if she's actually standing next to her house, she's standing in a chotzer. You could give a get to your wife, derech the kinyan of a chotzer, but that's only if she's around. Rabbi Yoshia Amar, no, Rabbi Yoshia says, even if she's not around, afilu hibet Tiberia v'chatzer b'tzipori. Even if she's standing in the city of Tiberia, and her chatzer is in Tzipori, Tzipori was the next town over, so, or hibet Tzipori v'chatzer b'Tiberia, or vice versa, she's in Tzipori and her chatzer is in Tiberia, Mugureshes. Rabbi Yoshia apparently lived in these places, up in the north, in the Galil, so he used these two examples as places to highlight that, i.e., she doesn't have to be present. So he asked the Gemara, what do you mean she doesn't have to be present? It says beferish of the Mishnah that she's there. So how could you argue with the line of the Mishnah? What the Mishnah means is as follows. The Kamisha Besach Besa, the Kamisha Besach Hatzeira. The Mishnah didn't mean to say that she's physically there. The Mishnah was trying to highlight that halakhically it's as if she's there. The cave in the Chatzim Ishtameres Tadaitai Miskareshes. The punchline of the Mishnah is that since the chatzah is being watched by her, so that's considered to be as if she's present, but it's not really hers. As long as she locked up the chatzah, she took the key, she went somewhere else, he throws the get into the chatzah, so the get is going to be valid. She doesn't have to physically be present. The Gemara wants to know, what is this bachlag? What are the Amorim arguing about whether, in order for kiddush chatzah to be effective, the person, the owner, has to be standing there? What are they arguing about? This is a sugi in the first parak of Metzia about how do we understand the lumdus of kinyan chatzah. The Torah says as a din of kinyan chatzah, so you can understand kinyan chatzah one of two ways. Either kinyan chatzah is an extension of the person's hand. The Torah says v'nasim biyada. So the Torah says v'chadesh that it doesn't have to be physically into our hand. It can be into our physical property as well, but it's basically an extension of her. But do I say no? That the chatzah is almost like a shliach. It's like an agent. It's not you. Your body ends at the end of your hand. The fact that you can put a get into somebody's chatzah, that's because there is a sugya called shlichus. So we view the inanimate object of the chatzah as being like a quasi shliach. So my nafkamina, what's the difference? Whether you say the lomdus is an extension of a yad or extension of shlichus. If you hold it's a yad, so then it would make sense that you would have to be there. It's when I'm using a yad, I'm here, my body's here, my yad is right here. So you want to tell me that my chatzar is like my yad? Okay, I could swallow that, provided that the chatzar is physically next to you. Whereas if you hold the shlichus, the guy could be in China, he's a shlich in America doing something for him, so that's okay. So if you go down the route of shlichus, there would be no reason to insist on the person being present near the chatzar. So that's the Gemara suggestion. Maybe that's the machlekes Amar Rai. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. Everybody agrees that chatzah is b'shem yad. Mar savaki yada. So one opinion says that it has to replicate yada. My yada b'smucha, just as my hand is close to me, av chatzera b'smucha, so to my chatzer is close to me. The idach and the other opinion. Ima yada b'dvuka. If you're going to tell me that your chatzer has to be similar to your yad, so you can't take that literally. If you're going to say that literally, then just as your yad is not close to you, your yad is connected to you, it's glued to you, it's connected to your body, so to your chatzer is connected to your body. Would somebody say that you have to, mama, it's not enough to be standing 5 feet away, you got to be literally on top of the chatzer? No. So eleki yada. So the answer is that even if chatzar is like a yad, it doesn't have to be in physical proximity of a yad. It has to have the characteristic of a yad. My yada mishtemeres nadaita, just as my hand is watched by me, av chatzar mishtemeres nadaita, so to my chatzar has to be something that I am watching. Lafuke chatzar mishtemeres nadaita. This would come to exclude a chatzar, a property, a backyard that's not being watched by me. What would that mean? So that's what the Gemara is alluding to a sugya a little bit later on about what would the din be if Reuven puts a get into the chatzah of his wife. And I don't mean the chatzah of the backyard. What I mean is he puts it into the hand of the Eved Kanani that belongs to his wife. So is that considered to be a chatzah? So that's a problem because she's not watching the chatzah. He's watching himself. So when you have a chatzah mishtameres ladas somebody else, that's not considered to be similar enough to yada. So the bottom line is we're still not sure. Machlekes Amoraim, is there a halacha that in order for chatzah to be valid, she has to be standing right there, or there is no such halacha? So then the Gemara continues with some other details of Hilchos Chatzer. How gaver dezarg lagit ledevisu? So a man threw a get to his wife, have a kaima bechatzer, and she was standing by the chatzer. Also gita nafu bepisla. So the guy didn't have such a good aim. So he tossed it into the chatzer, and it rather than landing on the floor of the backyard, so it fell onto, there was a big, like, it was like a tree stump, the big chatichas eitz that was sitting in the middle of the chatzer, and boom, the get landed right on top of that pisla. So the question is that called falling into hachatzar or not? Do we view that pisla, that piece of wood, as something which is separate and distinct? So the Gemara is going to explain why that is or is not relevant. So Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said it depends on the following. Chazinan, we take a look and see. Ihav ya'ar ba'amas, alar ba'amas, halagle rishus l'nafshe. If this tree stump is 4 amas, that's a pretty big piece of wood. If it's 4 amas by 4 amas, so then it's considered to be a separate rishus, and that wouldn't be valid, that he didn't give it into hachatzer. The elo, but if it's smaller than that, so chad rishusi, then it's just considered to be one rishus, one of the same, together with the chatzer, and the get would be valid. So he says, what in the world is the case? But by asking, what are we dealing with? If we're talking about this is her backyard, if it's her backyard, then it's her tree stump. the whole area belongs to her, including the piece of wood. So what's the difference? Who cares that this piece of wood is 4 amos? So big deal. So it's a separate rishus, but the rishus is hers. So why should the get be valid? It must be we're talking about it's his chatzer. So if it's his chatzer, kilo havi abamis behavi. So then even if the tree stump is less than dal abamis, why does that work? He didn't put it into our chatzer. So we have no idea what the case is. The Amaroi made a hole to do that, depending on the size of the piece of wood, the get will or will not be chal. So the Gemara says, what in the world is the difference? If he owns the backyard, the get's never chal. If she owns the backyard, she owns everything in the backyard, including the wood, and the get will always be chal. So we're not sure what's going on. So the Tzvi Chalik Gemara says, no. The Oshla Mokom, he owned the backyard. He owns everything back there. And he says to her, listen, I'm going to give you a get. And I'm going to give you rights to use that area where the get is going to be found in. So I'm basically lending you that area. That area now becomes your chotzer. So when he makes that declaration to her, when he's mashal ha-mokom, the chad mokom moshli inshi, trey mekomos lo moshli inshi, he was only mocked at the har, he only lent her, so to speak, that area where the get is. So when he said to her, originally, I'm going to throw the get into the chotzer, so I'm going to give you a chotzer, and then he throws it onto this big tree stump. So the question is, was that included in his original deal with her? So if he only meant to give her one muckle, say the guy's got 5 backyards, and he throws it by mistake into a different backyard. But he didn't say to give her that backyard. Only the area that he designated to give her is considered likely to be her chatzer. So that's what Rav Yosef is trying to figure out, that do we say that this piece of wood is considered to be just bottle to the chatzer, just part of the backyard, and therefore the get would be good? Or do I say this is like a separate and distinct area? So that was the issue. So the Oshlim Makom, the Chad Makom Oshlinchi, a person had in mind to give one place. Trey Makom is Lom Oshlinchi. He never had in mind to give it 2 different places. So that's why it depends on how big the piece of wood is. If it's very, very large, then it's a separate area. If it's not so large, then it's not. So below Amman, then the Gemara goes on to qualify this. Below Amman El Dlo Gavo Asara. If this area, this piece of wood, is more than 10 tefachim tall, so that's for sure considered to be its own mokum. Like you know, for Shabbos is such a rule. If something is 10 tefachim, it's considered to be a separate rishus. So there are different, again, these are now different technical details. How do you define whether this piece of wood is part of the backyard or not part of the backyard? Below Umran, and another factor is, we only say that it could be bottled to the backyard, El Delais Le Shem Levi. That's if it doesn't have like its own nickname. It's not called, I don't know. If they just call it a piece of wood, that doesn't count. That's not considered to be a devachoshim. Well, isle shem levai, but if they call it a special thing, if I say, oh, you see that thing in my backyard, that's, I don't know, I think of a good name for, that's Elmo's, that's Elmo stump. That's a special piece of wood. So then, alpha gav lo gavah, sara v'alpha lavi abba amas, even if it's not 10 tefachim tall, or even if it's not 4 amas by 4 amas wide, that would constitute as a davar choshev. As a davar choshev, it would constitute its own rishus, and it wouldn't be included in the original transaction that enabled her to become the get in the first place. Now the Gemara is commenting on the end of the Mishnah, afilu ima b'mita v'chulei, that what would the din be if a person gives a get to his wife, but he puts it into his chotzer? He owns the house. He didn't give her the chotzer. It's not her. It's totally his. So Gornish, that's not an acceptable get. That's not a kidney chotzer. So the Mishnah wanted dramatically to highlight this. So the Mishnah said that even if he mamish puts the get literally into her bed, he puts it under her pillow, it doesn't matter. He owns the pillow, he owns the bed, he owns that, he owns the bed, he owns everything. So he didn't give her the get. Amarava, lo shonu elabamita shalom. When do we say that the get would not be valid because he owns the bed? Ababamita shalom agureshes. But if she owns the bed, so then it is going to be a valid get. So Tani Rabbi Yochi, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mita Shelo Ein Megureshes. The Mishnah, the Braisa supports the distinction that we said, that if the bed belongs to him, she's not Megureshes because he didn't put it into her chatzar. Mita Shelo Megureshes, he put it into her bed, then it is. She is Megureshes. So now, yes, the Gemara very long, there's a question. Is it really true that by just simply putting it into her bed, the get is going to be chal? This is a tricky kind of a kinyan chatzar. So what we're basically saying is that since she owns the utensil, she owns the vessel, she owns the bed, that is a valid way of her being kona something. The problem is that that bed, although it's technically hers, it's sitting in his bedroom. He owns the land. So if I want to sell you something, forget about a get for a second. I want to sell you something. I want to put it into your kalim. I want to put it into your bag. I want to put it into your suitcase. But your suitcase is sitting in my backyard, sitting on my porch. So do you have the ability to be kona something? So on the one hand, a kli if somebody is like their chotzer. On the other hand, the kli that's movable is sitting in my chotzer. So can that be kona? So it sounds from this whole discussion that the answer is yes. So shmas be no. We should be able to derive from here that Caleb shalakech b'shus meicheru shmas bro, we should derive from here Caleb shalakech b'shus meicheru kana lakech. Is that really true? That's a big discussion of a basra. Can you really be kind of something in that way? Says the Gemara, lo tzricha de gevah asara. The Gemara says no, that the bed that belongs to her is way off the ground. It's a tall, top of the bunk bed belongs to her. It's way off the ground, and therefore that's not really considered to be part of his rishus. Yes, the Gemara, what do you mean? But the bed is standing, it's not suspended in midair. It's got the legs to it, and those legs are sitting on his property. So that should make the entire bed in his property. The Gemara says, nah, makom kari kapi in sheik. He doesn't care about a couple of pieces of 2 inches that the legs take up. He doesn't consider that to be really his property. He's willing to forego that in order that the get should be valid. So as long as if she has a bed, it's taking up half his bedroom. So he's not so happy about that. But if she's just taking up half an inch of space for the legs of the bed, so he's not mocked at that, and therefore it would qualify as her chatzer. Then the Mishnah gave some examples where even though she's sitting in his house, the get is still valid. If he puts it into her lap, so she's got an apron, so he throws it into her apron, or kalasa, she's got a basket of stuff sitting on her head. She women in the old days used to walk around carrying the little tchotchkes on their heads, so he tosses the get into that. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I just gave the example on the head. The Gemara's going to talk about where this basket is. So says the Gemara, wait a second, how does this work? How can you have a valid get being put into her basket? Am I? Caleb Shalakech, Bashus Meicheru. We're back to square one. That even though the basket presumably belongs to her, but the basket is in his Rishus. So is that true? That's a suffix in the Gemara of a Masra. Whether I can be Kona something because my Kli is in your property, is that a valid Kina Chatzah for me? So this Mishnah seems to support the theory that it would be valid. So Shmuel said, no. That this basket is literally is connected to her. It's not like a basket that's just sitting, 6 inches away from her, sitting on the floor somewhere. It's not much part of her. It's literally part of her body. It's hanging onto her. So when Shmuel gave this example, so he gave the example that it's hanging up. It's not even dragging on the floor. She's got a basket around her neck. And it's just hanging on to her body. That's part of her. And the other Maroim also gave a similar answer. But so Reish Lakish said that as long as it's tied to her body, even if it's not hanging, even if it's dragging, schlepping a little bit on the floor, that's still considered to be part of her body. So here, everyone's agreeing that the basic answer is, if she has her own basket that's sitting right smack in the middle of his living room, that's not considered necessarily to be her rishus, so she can't be cutting the get in that way. If she's wearing the basket, that's good enough. So you have a technical detail in the Machlek Sabarayim, what's called a wearing the basket. She's wearing the basket means she's wearing it like a necklace and it's not on the floor, so that's part of her body. But do I say no, even if it's schlepping a little bit on the floor, that's still good enough. So if Ada Bar Ava Omar, Kotraitzikalos, Munakas Labayn Yerichaseha. So Rabbi Adra Rava gave a different answer to the question. How do we view the basket as being part of her body? Is that it's sitting in her lap, it's right between her legs. So that's for sure considered to be part of her. So Mishashi gave a different answer that the husband happens to be a guy who sells baskets. So he doesn't mind having an extra basket around the house. So he's Michael Dan. He's got 100 other baskets sitting in his living room. So that's 101 baskets there. So he's Michael and Vatan on that area. Rabbi Yochanan says that you don't need all these answers. It doesn't have to be that she's wearing the basket. He's a basket maker. It's understood that the husband is not machbid on the area of his wife's lap, or the way of her apron, or the area of her basket. It's understood that those areas are considered to be her private property, and therefore get that would be placed in those areas would be acceptable. Amar Rav, my time to be Yochanan. Rav said, what is Rabbi Yochanan's rationale? Lefisha ein other machbid lo al makom cheka v'lo al makom kalosa. A person is not machbid. He says to his wife, you have to pay me rent for where your basket is. Come on. The woman has that basket in the house, so it's understood that area is in a sense designated for her. Tanya Miyach, we learned in a Bryce to support that. Zarka lo l'sachek, if he throws the get into her lap, or l'sach chalasa into her basket, or l'sach kol davashi chalasa, or anything that's similar to her basket, to her raisim ugereshes, the get would be chal. So what does that mean? Kol davashi chalasa l'siyemai. What is included in that phrase? Let's see, taska da achla batamre. She has a little bag that she eats dates in. So she's holding on to she's walking around with a little bag of popcorn, you know, around her neck. He decides to toss the get inside there. That's also called a get. It means you don't have to be such a stickler in details. If she wants to, you know, put her in, you know, take up half the backyard, so that he says, listen, you don't own that. So it's my area. But a little bit of a room here and there for her to put a little bag of popcorn, to put a little basket or something in her apron. So the husband says, even though he's divorcing her, it's understood that area is still a little bit given over to her. And therefore, the get would be valid. That would be the equivalent of putting it into her chutz. Okay, we'll stop.
If I come into your house and you give me something, it's mine.
Well, that if you
to my hand, even though I'm in your house,
yeah, it would be good. The problem is, if let's say I drive my car into your driveway, now you put something into my car, into my Kona, so it's my car is in your driveway. That's not the same as my hand in your driveway. That's the suffix. The best thing to remember. Okay, sure, thank you.
There's another drastic shul change in the shul upstairs. The main shul is a clock.
Oh, that's about time. No pun intended.
We were asking 1 o'clock. I was trying to think once the.
I can't do it. Every class has shul hunts. We have one in the back, we have one by the chazen, we have one by my seat.
Are they all the same time?
Yeah, they're all the atomic. There are three or four chazen in the show.
But now we know exactly how long the sermon is. It's like, drush off 19 minutes.
Thank you.